Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Couple more JJ texts here. Does Kingsbury put JJ in on goal line situation and let him score a touchdown? I don't know if he will. I do know that I watched the mic'd up for JJ in, I think it was week one. Week one was when they beat Tennessee, right? Yes, week one was when they beat Tennessee. I watched the mic'd up video, you know, 4 or 5 minutes of JJ mic'd up for that game, and they do run a package with him where he's in as a blocker down near the goal line. He and one of the other defensive linemen come in as sort of a jumbo set, but they're in there as blockers. On this particular one, they blocked to the left, and Kyler Murray naked bootleg to the right for a touchdown. So they've
set something up at least.
Yeah.
There's something on film with him out there, whether he's a decoy or the actual real deal.
There is a package that includes J.J. Watt being on offense for this team.
I bet they do something where J.J. is a decoy. I bet he runs a route, but he's not like he's not the focus of the play. Maybe the play breaks down and they end up going to him. But I bet they're going to anticipate, the Texans anticipating the Cardinals doing something with J.J. And then Kingsbury, master statistician. Strategizer that he is. He's a strategician. And master strategician that he is, goes elsewhere with it. Christian Kirk, another guy that has a Texas homecoming.
He does. You sound like David Culley talking about analytics, which I've heard him refer to multiple times. One more JJ text here, 713-572-4610. Isn't it hard to believe the Texans are so dysfunctional that they didn't retain J.J. Watt for his whole career? Here's what I would say about that, Seth, look, the Texans have their share of dysfunction. There's no doubt about that. But as far as retaining J.J. for his whole career, there are organizations that are functional organizations that don't hang on to their players in the twilight years of their career.
That's a very normal thing. It's not even a matter of saying there are organizations. It's the rule.
Right.
Like, that guys don't spend their entire career with one team. It's almost, it's like wildlife in nature, Sean. It almost always ends ugly. There's a year or two of them going elsewhere or something. Were the 49ers a horrible organization that Joe Montana didn't retire a 49er? Of course not.
Yeah. 713-572-4610. Let's get a call in here. Troy, you're up on Payne and Pendergast. Good morning.
Hey, guys. Usually I agree almost wholeheartedly with the morning show, at least with what y'all got to say. But with the Whitney merciless criticism, Sean, I think you hit the nail on the head slightly, because the point of what Whitney was saying was true regardless of the product he put on the field. I know he didn't have a strong ending to his Houston career, but everything he stated was 100% correct. I mean, when you have a team that chooses to get rid of DeAndre Hopkins because he's too much of a headache, which he's not, but when you have a team like that, it shows that they're just wanting do-gooders. They want yes sir, no sir. They don't want pushback. They want what they want, and they want nothing else. And regardless of the talent that you have, they don't care. They just want to have a culture that isn't going to push back on their stupid-ass views because they have a freaking philanthropist in there running the organization. They have a guy who comes in here, and then they choose him over Deshaun Watson. I know the allegations, but the talent of Deshaun Watson, a generational talent, they decide to pick him over that. They can't retain And you just hit on J.J. Watt. But the fact that you can't retain J.J. Watt is indicative of the choices you've made coming up to this position, this moment in time. I mean, you sold Clowney, which was the right decision, but for pennies on the freaking dollar, there's just so much more, guys, and I would spend too much time of air time, which I'm not good enough to be on this for that long, so I won't hit it that long. But y'all know what I'm saying. It's ridiculous.
Oh, yeah.
And everything he said was true. And well, I appreciate the time, guys.
All right, thanks, Troy. Appreciate it.
I think what Sean was saying, Troy, wasn't – because I think what Sean and I both said that was correct about what Whitney said was that they haven't made good decisions with whom they've invested in or how they've invested, but they have been willing to invest. It's that they made really bad investments, and they invested in Eric Murray. They invested in Whitney Mercilus, and that was the irony of it all, I guess, is that they chose – I think I agree completely with what Troy is saying. They invested in guys like Whitney Mercilus who weren't going to necessarily buck the trend or push back or what have you. That's why – tell me if I'm right in this or not, Sean. I think that's why it struck you as kind of ironic that Whitney would be the one delivering that criticism.
It's like,
the bad contracts, the people in which they did invest, the money that they overspent on, included Whitney Mercilus.
That's 100% my emotion and what I said before about that. And we'll play it again for you guys here as we roll on here in the 8 o'clock hour. But, yeah, that was – Seth, that's why I prefaced it with it's going to sound like I'm sticking up for the Texans when I say this. That's why I prefaced it with that, because it's not me sticking up for the Texans. Troy, you said a lot of things there that I agree with about the way this team's been run and the way that this roster has been mangled and attempting to be rebuilt here. Yeah, it's that – dude, Whitney – I mean, show a little self-awareness, guy. You know, they invest plenty. That they invested in you is one of the incremental reasons why this team is 1-5. It's one of the incremental reasons why they are 5-17 over the last 2 years. The second the pen hit the paper on your 4-year, $54 million extension, you aged 25 years for some reason. And Green Bay is going to find that out. Whitney can say all these things at the microphone at his press conference about how rejuvenating it is to be on a good team, and I'm sure it'll be fun. And you know what? If there's a former Texan that's going to go get a ring somewhere else, if it's Whitney in Green Bay, cool, man. That's awesome. But they're going to find out Sunday that Whitney is washed, that they probably should have watched the Texans on Sunday Ticket.
But I will listen. Like Troy, I agree with most of what you said, though. Too, I think that maybe you and Sean are just on different pages. I will say, I think one of the biggest shots taken at the Texans, without actually taking a shot, was what J.J. Watt said about culture.
I think we obviously have a very special group of players. I think that there's a ton of talent on this team, but I think the thing that's really making this thing go so far is just the business-like atmosphere of every single day. Guys come in, they go to work, they do their job. Cliff sets a great culture where he handles what he handles, and then he lets everybody else handle what they handle. He trusts us to do our jobs. He trusts his coaches to do their jobs. And I think that there's just a belief and a knowledge that we come in every day and we do our work. And the next day you come in, you do your work, and then Sunday you go out there and you try and win a football game, and then you just turn the page, and the next day you're back to work doing the same thing. And I think that it's nobody here is complaining. Nobody here is making excuses. You know, last week we had all the COVID and everything. I think it's just every single day is work-like. I mean, it's been awesome. I mean, we're 6-0, and nobody's asked for a victory Monday. Nobody's asked, you know, why aren't we doing this? Why aren't we doing that? Everybody we just come in, do our work, and then go out there and play.
But and I think he's genuinely giving a compliment to his own guys there, and I think that, like, it doesn't have to all be related to the Texans, but there was an element last year, and this is borne out just from conversations I've had or what was in the Sports Illustrated article last year and what have you, that I hope is somewhat different this year. But there was a whole lot of motivational BS last year that players just see right through in the variety of inspirational cards, and frankly, the objection that I have to a lot of character or culture coaches like Jack Easterby is that they're too damn dramatic about stuff. Everything they know about sports and life has been prepackaged for them in some kind of glossy hardcover motivational book or something. And it doesn't have to be that way. Like, you show up, you do your job, you go about it. And that's what, like, the ironic part of it was in New England, New England players will laugh and scoff at the notion of a Patriots way because it's never been painted out as the Patriots way or anything. Belichick's not trying to write a best-selling book about how they, you know, captured the emotions and all this other nonsense. They just go, they show up and they do their job, they go about their business, they go home. And that, there was a whole lot of that last year from just weird speeches, weird focuses, weird everything, where you're trying to reinvent the wheel instead of just going out and playing football. So I do think, I don't know if it was a shot at the Texans, but I think it was definitely a contrast from what was going on with the Texans last year and what is this year. And maybe it's different now with now that there's actually some genuine leadership there.
All right, well, let's hear from somebody with the Texans, Lovie Smith. I think if we're looking at interesting storylines with this team as the season continues to spiral out of control in the one-loss column, is which guys are still going to be around come November 2nd. Lovie Smith gave an update on one particular player who's become a story every Sunday without getting on the field. That's next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
Lovie Smith met with the media yesterday at his weekly coordinator press conference. And here was an exchange about Charles Omeniyu, who has been inactive the last 2 weeks, despite being one of the more productive pass rushers on this defense. Here was Lovie Smith on Charles Omeniyu.
Chuck has been doing good things in practice, but when you only dress eight guys and you have nine, somebody sits down. It's kind of simple as that. So each week is a different week. Opportunities present themselves, and it's left up to guys to take advantage of them. Our matchup base is to get the best eight each week. Our roster is set up right now. If you're at that position, I mean, we feel like you can do the things that we're looking for each week. But again, you can only dress so many, and it normally works itself out. I've never seen a player that didn't deserve to play that didn't eventually get a chance to. And different combinations kind of happen from week to week. And this is a new week right now.
Never's a long time, Lovie. You're in your late 60s, early 70s. I don't know how old Lovie is.
Well, I do think, look, I'd be surprised if this were anything other than a football decision. Like, I don't think this is Nick Caserio or anything, like having any issues with Charles Omeniyu. But when I say football decision, bear with me for a moment. I think that sometimes with defensive players especially, it's easy to see production. It's not so easy to see the mistakes that guys make. And that a lot of times, it's one of the things that drives me nuts, Sean. Sometimes, because there's a lot of really bright people out there doing film breakdowns and everything. But sometimes I'll see guys say, like, well, what was the defensive coordinator thinking with this coverage? And the answer is, somebody screwed up. That's not the way it was designed. Somebody screwed up. Likewise, sometimes on the run, in the run game, it's not the blitz that's the blame. It's that somebody made a mental error. So I hold it open that it might be with a Menihu. It might be either a combination of his bad plays or mental errors or what have you that have hurt the team, and sometimes that's harder to spot. You know, some of the big runs, and it's impossible to tell as an observer. There have been times this year where there have been some big runs where a couple of defensive linemen were slanting, but no linebacker replaced them. And it's, you know, you never know if it's a linebacker's fault or if one of the defensive linemen stunted when he wasn't supposed to stunt, or maybe the blitz was called off. So it could be as simple as that. And if they're trying to reduce the number of mental errors, maybe it's errors that Amenhu is making. But beyond that, like I just, it's not a good enough defensive line. And Amenihu isn't a good enough player that I'm overly up in arms about it, but it is curious. Just like, I would love a straight answer. I would love to know exactly what it is, because he does, by the eyeball test and what have you, it doesn't look like he's a guy that should be benched every week.
Yeah, I think, you know, I'll just tell you what my source of frustration is from it, yeah. Seth, and you watch the game with a far more educated eye than I do, certainly with defensive line play, given that you played defensive line in the league for a decade. I guess my issue with it is a bigger picture issue, to where I just don't need to see snaps from Jordan Jenkins more than I need to see snaps from Charles Amenihu at this point.
Yeah.
Amenihu is a guy who fits the bill of somebody, at least from a skill set and a production standpoint. Forget any of the drama that might come with Amenihu, and we know there's some of that too. Does the social media game play into this at all? There could be something bigger picture going on with how the team feels culturally about Amenihu. I don't know that to be the case. You brought up some football reasons that are perfectly valid. For me, I need to see the Amenihus and the Lonnie Johnsons. As long as they're on this team, I need to see the Amenihus, the Lonnie Johnsons, the Max Sharpings, the Titus Howards, the Charlie Hex. I need to see those guys, because, look, we are probably, this Sunday might end up being the tipping point to where whatever young guys are on this team, you do really need to start to figure out what you got with these guys. Whatever guys you feel like you need to move on from, you move on from them. Like, the Arizona Cardinals might provide the kill shot to whatever the mantra of, we're going to try to win as many games as we possibly can with the best team we can put on the field. This could trigger the fire sale come Sunday, and that's why I'm frustrated Amenihu's not out there. Because I would like the organization to have a very, very clear view of what they have in Charles Amenihu before they move on from him.
I wonder with Amenihu, I don't know what the reason for this would be, but he hasn't played nearly as much on the inside as he's capable of. Now, that might just be because the Texans they've got a good bit of playable defensive tackles. But with this defense will rotate guys in a lot. You know, like you might be a starter, but only get 50-55% of the snaps, because they like to rotate a lot. And some of that is when you want to use a certain type of package. So, like, let's say if you're facing an athletic quarterback like Kyler Murray, and you want to be sure that you've got a lot of athletes on the field to be able to chase him down, then you might want to move Amenihu inside to play defensive tackle. He's only taken 14 snaps on the inside this year. Everything else has been on the outside. So I don't know if that's because the coaches don't want to use him on the inside, or if it's because maybe Amenihu is balking at being used on the inside, and they're saying, like, okay, well, if that's the case, then if you don't want to play on the inside, then you're not as valuable to us as you would be. I have zero idea.
Okay.
It's a possibility.
Given that he's played mostly on the outside this year, and given the fact that they just cut Whitney Mercilus, who was eating up a bunch of snaps on the outside this year, how surprised would you be if Amenihu was inactive again this weekend?
I wouldn't be completely surprised, because if Blacklock comes back, that kind of takes up the roster spot. Now, Blacklock can't play on the outside. Or at least, I mean, you don't want him. You don't want him out there a whole bunch. Yeah, he's not the same type of athlete as those guys.
I've got the nine names. I've got the nine names right here.
The guys that are available and eligible right
now. Yes. And I'm going to assume Blacklock is going to be, because I think they just removed Blacklock from the COVID list. So, Blacklock, Malik Collins, John Grenard. These are all defensive linemen, inside and outside. Yeah. Jordan Jenkins. Jaleel Johnson, who was actually on the injury report yesterday, Roy Lopez, Jacob Martin, Charles Amenihu, and DeMarcus Walker.
I'd say four of those guys are interior guys, and five of them are edge guys.
Okay.
Which leaves the Menihu like on the outside looking in if they're going to keep four inside and four outside. DeMarcus Walker can play both. I guess it seems like it's down to between Jahlil Johnson and Charles Menihu at this point.
I guess.
And yeah, I guess they just maybe, I don't know.
How weird is that, man? Like he was the most productive non-JJ Watt pass rusher. Not like this was the Purple People Eaters or anything like that, but like he was a guy who flashed more than most other guys last year on a bad defense.
Yeah, I guess I wish he had flashed even more or flashed more even in games this year, because it's not like one of the great injustices of the world.
No, you're right.
That on this defensive line group,
yep.
it's curious, but it is a deep group. It's like without having any Pro Bowl type or all pro guys on there, it's a deep group of guys who are viable NFL players. Like I think this might be the one position group right now on the team where if any one of these guys got cut tomorrow, he would definitely get picked up the next day. I don't know if there's another position group quite like it. These guys are all viable NFL players. At the very least, as backups, they can contribute something to a team.
Yeah, you've been saying that since camp about this group. That's the group that's excited you. Excited is a relative term with this team, but that's the group that had the most competence.
Yeah, like Jahlil Johnson got picked. Where was he? With the Saints practice squad?
Yeah,
he was,
I think so.
He was picked up pretty quickly, and the Texans were able to get him back. But like, none of these guys would be sitting out on the street if they were released today. That's why it would be a little bit more brazen if a Menihu were the backup and two or three of these guys sucked.
Are you surprised Brandon Dunn hasn't been picked up by a team?
Because I think that he's a guy that I think as the season goes along, he will get picked up by somebody that needs him because of injuries. But look, there was another Bill O'Brien / Brian Gaines signing. Whenever they gave Brandon Dunn that contract, it didn't make a whole lot of sense what they were paying him, because he was, I think, like he was a backup player who'd been thrust into a starter's role and didn't do a great job of it. I like him, and I like the way he plays, and he's a huge body that you can put in the middle of a 3-4 defense, but he wasn't all that effective. He was a body that you could put there and do the right thing. So I think that he doesn't have necessarily the upfield ability or the athleticism of a guy that can fit into any scheme. There's a specific rollout for him out there somewhere when somebody gets injured.
So 2 years ago, we got game six tonight. 2 years ago was game six of the 2019 ALCS. I tweeted something that night that just goes to show you in the Houston sports landscape the last couple years, there's really only one thing that you can count on. That's next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
From the Twin Peaks studio, it's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
Altuve has just sent the Astros to the World Series. It is anything but a walk-off home run because nobody's leaving. And the little guy, 5'6", 168, with a heart of a lion, sends it over the wall and left for a pennant-winning home run. Amazing.
That was 2 years ago. Not about 2 years ago to the day, but we'll just call it to the day because it's game six tonight. That was game six in 2019. Seth, 2 years ago, right after that home run, I tweeted the following, at Sean T. Pendergast on Twitter. James Harden and Russell Westbrook behind home plate at a game where Jose Altuve hits a walk-off to win the pennant. Now we get ready for Deshaun Watson and J.J. Watt to invade Indy. These are the times to remember, baby. Hashtag H-Town.
Did you do a montage that night of all the... You should have done a video montage set to an Adele song.
Yeah, yeah.
About how the... Yeah.
Or Billy Joel. This is the time. Yeah, James Harden and Russell Westbrook probably just getting ready to get their season started, I would imagine, right? The Rockets opened up a couple nights ago with a much different looking team than the one they opened the season with in 2019.
Well, wasn't that, yeah, that and that was notable. I remember because also, you know, those two spent a whole lot of time up at the buffet too.
At the Diamond Club?
In their seats. Yeah, up in there, instead of in their seats. I always feel like the people in the front row there have a certain responsibility during the big games to actually be in their seats.
Those are Tillman so seats, I think. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I know. So I feel like Tillman needs to tell them, listen, Harden, listen, Westbrook, this is the way it's going to be,
right.
Okay? Call the shots here, and this is, yeah.
Or we're trading you. Oh, wait. Oh, never mind. So, yeah, that's, man, think about that. 2 years ago, that was 2 years ago, almost to the day. What? Four of the five people that I mentioned in that tweet are gone now. Like James Harden, Russell Westbrook, Jose Altuve, Deshaun Watson, J.J. Watt. Like Jose Altuve is the only thing that we can count on in this city. He is the only thing that we can count on because everything else in there. If someone had told you that night, like, hey, Sean, nice tweet, but guess what? Four of these five guys are going to be gone within 2 years. Like Russ, I would have said, okay, that wouldn't shock me. You know, that he's older. He's got a big contract. Harden, I would have been stunned. Watt, I would have been pretty stunned, but he was getting older. Deshaun Watson, I would have said, okay, stop. Like Jose Altuve will be gone before Deshaun Watson is gone. You know what I mean? Like man, it's just crazy to think that was 2 years ago. The five icons.
In the trade for Westbrook was in July of that year, but we hadn't really seen a whole lot of him up to that point. because they
he might not have even played a game up to that point. I mean, the NBA season was opening.
That was before. That was. I'm trying to remember what the normal NBA schedule used to be because everything's been so weird. As they were expanding the calendar, imprint of the NBA calendar was also when COVID was hitting.
Right.
So there were all kinds of changes, and then there were more changes on top of it, and we're still trying to get. I think this year we're back on track, right?
Yes.
With the NBA.
Yes. 82 games.
It's an expanded footprint, but so they start earlier and end a little bit later, but it's within the normal realms
right.
of the NBA schedule.
Right. Yeah. No, it's 82 game schedule. Not back to backs. It's a normal number of back to backs. It's all pretty normalized. So yeah, man. RIP for four of those five guys. As far as
so
being
of
Houston
those
athletes.
Things, I mean, you wouldn't have expected that Russell Westbrook was going to be gone quite so quickly. You certainly didn't think that Deshaun Watson was going to be gone anytime
ever.
In the next decade.
Ever. He's right. A quarterback. They don't change team. Like you know, there was a better chance he was going to retire as a Texan than be gone at some
Watt,
point.
For J.J. Watt to be gone. This, I guess, if you had asked me in that year, in 2019, will J.J. Watt be gone soon?
This was, keep in mind, this was the week, because they were going to Indy, that was week 7.
Yeah.
This was the week after they had beat the Chiefs in Kansas City. Remember that game? Where they converted the 4th-and-3 to close out the game? Like, that might have been the high point of the Bill O'Brien era. To that point.
I'm trying to be honest with me because I know one of my listeners will remember like something that I said back then. I'm guessing that I probably at some point predicted that J.J. Watt would retire a Texan. If I'm going to be honest with myself, even though the vast majority of guys don't stay with the same team their entire career, no matter how good they are, I think I did for a while think, yeah, but J.J.'s probably going to be different just because he means so much to the McNair family. This was before I ever – this is when I barely knew who Jack Easterby was or what he did because he was hired in the spring of that year, although I did wonder exactly what he had to do with the departure of Brian Gain. But yeah, that would have been a shock. It would have been Watt is a bigger shock than if you asked me on that night. Watt's a way bigger shock than Russell Westbrook for sure.
Yeah.
Not as big a shock as Deshaun Watson.
Harden and Watson, I would have been blown away if you had told me that night. The night Altuve hit the home run in 2019, it was in mid late October. If you had told me Harden I would have been stunned. Watson, I would have just said you're lying. Watt, I would have been pretty damn stunned. Russ, I would have been probably not totally shocked. You know, just
let me ask you on that evening, Sean.
Yes.
What if I told you, hey, there's a very good chance that both George Springer and Carlos Correa will be gone?
Because
remember, the notion was, well, you gotta let go of Springer because you gotta pay Correa at some point.
But Seth. Not in 2019, there wasn't the love for Carlos Correa that there is right now.
That's true. That's a very good point, Sean.
That was massage-busted rib Carlos in 2019. I mean, I'm being honest. If you had asked me that night who's got a better chance of being here 2 years from now, George Springer or Carlos Correa, I think I might have said George Springer at that time. People forget it was a very different view of Carlos Correa. I don't know that there's been... I don't know, in my time covering sports in the city here for the last 15 years and having been a fan for about 30 years, that I can think of an athlete that has done a bigger 180 in 2 years than Carlos Correa. Carlos Correa, I'm not going to say he was veering towards being a bust, but he was a very, very frustrating guy to cover because he was injured all the time. And now here we are 2 years later, and he does every time he does something positive in a game, pay that man, pay that man, pay that man. Hashtag pay. There's T-shirts. Pay that man. He's done a remarkable 180. In some ways, the sign-stealing scandal was the best thing that ever happened to Carlos Correa because he became the ultimate heel to everybody else, which makes him the ultimate babyface to all of us here.
His overall performance in the 2019 playoffs, 639 OPS, batting average 191, but with some big key moments in that series, but still not... not the guy that we think of quite right now.
No. Yeah, 2019 was different for Carlos. All right. Lisa Ann, she is our fantasy football expert. She's brought to you each and every week by Cindy. Cindy's number one for fantasy and fun. Lisa, we missed you last week. Did you have a successful charity event last week?
I did. It was a great event. It was totally awesome. Amazing how the event coordinators were able to move it so last minute because, remember, the oil spill in Huntington Beach didn't allow us to walk at the beach. And you know how it is. You guys have put together remotes, many events, many group things. When something changes last minute, it is absolute chaos, and they handled it like champs.
And it's a walk
for a lot of times, especially when we're doing something at the beach, people want shots of Sean and I frolicking on the beach.
Big time.
Barefoot, you know, giving each other piggyback rides, all
right.
That stuff.
Like, we're like Rocky III, where Apollo and Rocky hugged in the water in their tight shorts. That's what they like to see us doing. It was a walk for Alzheimer's, right, Lisa?
Yes, it was. Yeah. Yes, and by the way, the word frolicking in morning radio is fantastic.
Yes, it's a good word. It is a good word. All right, Lisa, let's get into some fantasy football here. Week 7 of the NFL season. Hey, if you have Derrick Henry and you're not at least on track for the playoffs in your league, how bad an owner are you?
Well, you could be a great owner if you package him at this point, right? I know you don't want to get rid of your workhorse, but I imagine a league member would give you maybe three players, three of your missing links. You can't just rely on one player, though he is such a difference maker. At the same time, I've seen this happen. I've seen Derrick Henry on teams that are just failing. And last week, I actually got in one of my leagues, I helped two league managers negotiate a trade for Derrick Henry because it's a super flex. So the quarterback injuries affected this team manager greatly, all three quarterbacks. And then there was two quarterbacks were injured and one was on a bye. So you got to make it work. I know it's not easy to let go of Derrick Henry, but if you're in that spot where you don't even think you're close to the playoffs, you can really make some big moves. And if you make those moves, be strategic. Pick up players that have already had their bye week so that you do not have to fuss with this moving down the road.
Okay, so Jameis Winston has always been a tough guy to figure out, but this year it feels like throwing darts at a mosquito because it's like one week, oh my gosh, brilliance. The other week just completely disappears. What do you think about Jameis versus the Seahawks?
Well, I think the Seahawks are not what we expect the Seahawks to be right now, especially defensively. What's interesting about Jameis is playing him is frustrated because you're not getting those yards, right? You're seeing him out there and you're like, but he's getting the touchdowns and he makes these moves. He's just not as fantasy relevant as he was three seasons ago. I think Jameis has an opportunity here for a get-right game. I think he's going to do it. The news with Michael Thomas not coming back is probably the biggest thorn in his side right now because that's the weapon he needs to get to the next level.
Oh, I've got Michael Thomas sitting on my bench. I've been waiting for it, Lisa. I've been waiting for it. Hey, text in 713-572-4610 if you've got questions for Lisa Ann on starting or sitting players in your lineup this week as we roll on here with Lisa Ann, our fantasy football expert. Hey, Lisa, Deshaun Watson trade rumors popping up again this week, which I guess it stands to reason with the trade deadline in the NFL coming up a week from Tuesday. I would imagine that Deshaun is probably owned in most leagues, just kind of sitting on people's bench in case he is able to come back and play. Is it time to start hoarding some Miami skill guys that might be out there? Are you buying into the Watson trade rumors?
You know, it's hard to buy into the rumors without knowing the eligibility to play. We know that he's not on the NFL exempt list, but for all of us, you know, kind of voyeurs in a situation of trying to look at the news and read between the lines, if he makes this move, does he play? That's really the big question mark. I'm in a stay away situation because I don't want to deal with really the backlash, the what if. Will he start right away? How quickly will he be able to get into the scheme of the team? I mean, it would be great for all of those players, but for myself, there's just too many question marks. We've never seen a situation with so many unanswered questions, but yet fantasy team managers are like, I'm going to pick him up. And I'm like, really? Like, this has been lingering for like 7 months, and none of us know more than we really did 7 months ago.
Lisa, you know, sometimes there are guys who do really well in fantasy, but it's misleading because their actual performance as football players and contributing to a winning effort isn't actually what the fantasy numbers would suggest. I feel like Jalen Hurts is not in that boat. Like, I feel like Jalen Hurts, I feel like his fantasy numbers might actually tell more of the real story, where people that don't play fantasy are completely discounting Jalen Hurts. Does that make sense what I'm saying there?
It definitely does, because what you're looking at is Jalen Hurts' numbers. Now, 4 interceptions isn't great, but 8 touchdowns and almost 1,500 yards on the season. Jalen Hurts isn't going to have to deal with the Zach Ertz-Dallas Goedert conflict. He's going to be completely leaning on Dallas Goedert, which is such a bummer to see the questionable tag there, but we know Goddard's going to play. Miles Sanders is really the missing link for Philadelphia that I think we're going to see get more action this week against the Raiders. But you're right with Jalen Hurts. He's getting no love. Nor are the Philadelphia Eagles in general. They weren't highly drafted. Of course, the tight ends went because you're always looking for a tight end. But Jalen Reagor as well, not getting the love that he should be. But I think this is going to be a great game in Las Vegas for the Philadelphia Eagles.
All right, Lisa, before we get to some of the stardoms and situms here quickly, you mentioned the Eagles. Zach Ertz, now an Arizona Cardinal. It looks like the Texans will get the first look at Zach Ertz on the other side of the ball this week. How big an upgrade is this for Zach Ertz? Kyler Murray's got a lot of targets to spread it around to.
Kyler Murray does have a lot of targets to spread around, but what Zach Ertz brings is very different compared to the other targets. He's got that red zone ability to just make something happen. He's a big-bodied guy who also will be utilized in the blocking, keeping in mind Kyler Murray is not the largest quarterback in the NFL. So I do think he's going to have an impact right away, and I think this is... It's amazing. Arizona is so good this season, and now I just think they get that much better, whether it's 10% better, 15% better. But most important, when they're faced with their next injury, which we know they will, all NFL teams will, they now have another weapon to go to, and Zach Ertz, been in the league for quite a few years, gets the game and really plays hard football.
All right, let's get to some of these. Text in 713-572-4610. Joe Burrow against the Ravens or Aaron Rodgers against the Washington football team?
I got to go Aaron Rodgers. I love Joe Burrow, not discounting Joe Burrow, but Aaron Rodgers, what his ability, just his excellence. And I also look at that matchup and say, yeah, Washington's football team, we believed in their defense on the offseason because of last year, and all of our faith is gone because the defense is just absent. It's such a surprise to those of us who reached, like myself, in a league or two for Washington's defense.
All right, DK Metcalf or A.J. Brown, they say, or CeeDee Lamb. CeeDee Lamb is on a bye this week, so DK Metcalf or A.J. Brown?
I'm still going DK Metcalf. I know there's no Russell Wilson, but I believe that DK Metcalf is the better player and in a better situation for this week.
All right, can I start Cordarrelle Patterson and Mike Davis against the Dolphins? Of course, both of them are Atlanta Falcons. Do you want to have too much Falcon representation in your lineup, or is this a good week for the Falcons to put up points?
It's a good week. I wouldn't love to do this in any week, but this could be a team manager that's faced with, like, Bye-mageddon conundrum. You know, we've got six teams on bye this week, so if that's the reason why you're doing it, great. But in my mind, I never like to do that.
Would you call it Bye-mageddon?
Bye-mageddon.
I love that.
Yeah, it's like Bye-mageddon. Oh, how many times did you look at your teams this week and think, I can't drop any of these players to pick up a scrub to put in my lineup? Like, it's so upsetting.
It's Swiss cheese, man. It's yes. The worst right now. Last one, Lisa. Matthew Stafford versus the Lions or Kyler Murray against the Texans? Well, I don't know if both these guys might just be handing the ball off in the second half just to get off of the field because they're up by four touchdowns.
I got to go Matthew Stafford just for the love of the game, right? I mean, both of these are great options, and this manager has two great options to choose from, but I'm just really curious what Matthew Stafford's going to do this week at home. I love to see what the defense is going to do to Goff. They know him so well. Like, this is going to be a fun game to watch, and I think Matthew Stafford is not going to hand the ball off in the second half. I think he's going to go ham, put up five touchdowns. Everybody's going to get some. Robert Woods owners, get ready, because this is the week where I see him getting into the end zone, not once, but twice.
Yeah, there you go. All right, that's true. Stafford against his old team. That's the proper angle with that one. Lisa Ann, our fantasy football expert, brought to you by Cindy's. Cindy's, number one for fantasy and fun. Lisa, we always enjoy the conversation. Enjoy the games this weekend.
Enjoy the games. Have a great weekend. Thanks for having me.
You got it. Thanks, Lisa. Appreciate it. Lisa Ann, our fantasy football expert. All right, up next, game six tonight. The scariest thing about the next 48 hours for Astro fans. That's next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.